Porchlight Family Media,
your source for family-centered content.
PorchlightFamilyMedia.com.
And now, Audio Theater Central.
Oh, hi there. I'm John Avery Whittaker, but most folks around here call me Whit.
My name is Finian Jones, and you are...
Hello, I'm Dave Arnold, your host for Focus on the Family Radio Theater.
Hello, I'm JD.
And I'm Roy.
And I am still Andrew.
Really?
And we are still your hosts for Audio Theater Central.
Hey, Audio Theater Central is the show that's all about family-friendly audio drama. We love talking about the top three, which are some of our favorite series, Adventures in Odyssey, Focus on the Family Radio Theater, and Lamplighter Theater. However, today, we're not going to talk about any of those.
That's right.
This is episode 54.
Matter of fact, on the show today, we're not talking about anything. We're just going to sit here in silence.
We are going to have a moment of silence.
So what we're going to do is we're all going to sit here and look at our mics. And what you as the listener can do is, you know, keep your headphones in and do whatever it is you normally do listening to the podcast, but enjoy the peace and quiet, right?
Just take a
break. We all want to look for that place of peace and quiet. So we decided that today we would give you that for about 40 minutes of just dead air.
Yeah, sounds very uninteresting.
Doesn't it, though? Yes. Aren't you glad that isn't what we do here?
That's right.
What we're actually going to do is kind of give an overview of old-time radio. We know there's a lot of you out there who have not jumped into the world of old-time radio, and that is basically our roots, guys.
Yeah, this is the birthplace of audio drama.
The foundation, you know.
And as you can tell from the enthusiasm that is literally dripping from our voices, we are just...
That's called just spit.
Just ridiculously huge.
Let it drip over there on your side.
Hugeness fans of old-time radio.
It's just like hitting the glass or JD.
Exactly. That's right.
Just teasing. Okay.
I have to get Bernard in here to squeegee this way. Yeah.
Oh, that's sad.
But in a way, we
kind of... Speaking of a moment of silence.
Yeah. We are kind of referencing Odyssey and like all these... Because all these actors and stuff that worked on all these shows, you know. These older...
Many of them.
Less now than previously.
Yeah, less now than previous, of course, but, you know.
They are passing off the scene.
Yeah,
which is another reason that this is such an awesome thing.
Yes. Yeah.
It gives such a great glimpse into what culture was like back in the... Golden Age of Radio and the Greatest Generation. So...
Yeah, so that's coming up.
So we won't...
That's a sneak peek.
So what that was is JD cutting us off from just going off on ridiculous tangents and taking the show in the wrong direction at the wrong time, or the right direction at the wrong time. So
that's right. Tell us, JD, tell us about this free production that...
Well, we also have some feedback from Samuel coming up.
Yeah.
And we got a newscast, but there is one thing that I did want to bring to your attention, and that is I discovered a free production, and it's called The Story of Jesus, which is basically an adaptation of the entire book of Luke.
Oh.
Now, don't expect the Luke reports like Focus on the Family did. You know, they kind of embellished and did the backstory of Luke's journey. Now, this is just a straight adaptation of the book of Luke in a... And here's where we're going to get into some gray area. I'm going to call it a pseudo audio drama. So it's kind of like that hybrid thing that we talked about a few episodes ago. So, but it is still really good, high quality. So you may have seen the blog post on the website about this. If not, there's a link in the show notes, but it's an absolutely 100% free. And one thing that's really cool about it is that it's available in like a ton of different languages.
Nice.
They've got it in, you know, all the major languages in the world.
Whoa.
So it's something that you can share with other people because, again, it's 100% free and it's really interesting. And I thought, you know, you might be interested in checking that out. And hey, it's free, so why not? You're not out any money. But there's a link in the show notes to the blog post where you can obtain your own copy in whichever language you prefer. Roy. Mr. Newscaster?
Yes.
Newscast. Yeah.
Newscast.
Cast the news.
You're up to bat.
We have learned the title of the third production in the Extraordinary Adventures of G.A. Henty series. It will be called The Dragon and the Raven, adapted from one of the most popular Henty books. It is the story of how young King Alfred united ancient England to fight against the Danes. The Lamplighter Theater team is scheduled to record three new dramas during their next recording session, which will include a story called The Giant Killer. That's it for the news this time. I'm Roy, reporting for Audio Theater Central.
So I'm interested in that last one there. Is this a...
The Giant Killer?
Is this a really big killer, or is this a little guy who kills really big things?
Sounds because like David and Goliath to me.
Because it could be like Jack the Giant Killer being one who kills giants, or it could be a giant who kills.
Aha. Uh-huh.
It could go either way.
It could. So we'll leave you in suspense.
Well, today we're going to give you an introduction to old time radio and give you some of our thoughts on this medium, which kind of got this whole thing started. And it's just a fascinating look back at some of the foundations, which we already mentioned, of this whole medium that we love so much. And we know that some of you have not yet got into this, and we want to tell you about it and kind of get you looking in that direction. And if you already are an old-time radio fan, maybe this will be kind of fun for you to learn about some of our experiences with old-time radio and some of our favorite shows and series. And so let's jump into this. The old-time radio era, which you mentioned, Andrew, is sometimes referred to as the Golden Age of Radio. And it's a period of programming in the United States, which started from the proliferation of radio broadcasting in the early 1920s through the 1950s, when kind of TV kind of took over as far as storytelling medium. This is from Wikipedia. And so there's that several decades span there where there was some really great storytelling being done on radio every night of the week, and families would gather around this massive cabinet that sat in the living room, and they'd listen to these great stories.
Just as with pretty much all technology, old radios are something to behold, right?
They were exactly
monstrous, and they got smaller as time went on, and of course now we have them everywhere, right? A radio today consists of a little antenna that you can stuff in just about any case, any size. So it's pretty awesome to see something antique and old like that when it's just that massive size, like massive old computers that took up entire rooms and used printouts to be programmed, or used printouts and, you know, different things. So it's pretty cool to take a look back at the way things used to be.
Exactly. So what's interesting about the way these were produced was, you know, modern audio drama, you go into a studio and you record all the actors, then you go back and you dig through a sound effects library and find some sound effects to insert into certain scenes. And then if there's something you need to go record a sound for, you'll go and do some Foley, you know, record that. And then you put it all together, get a composer involved, and they go and, you know, insert all these little transitions, and then you have somebody that goes behind, puts this whole big puzzle together, and, you know, and then you have a final production. Not the way it was done, by far.
Right.
And so everything was done in real time, live. Sound effects, music, actors. A lot of these modern audio dramas, the actors are not even in the same place. They're not recorded at the same time.
Right.
So this is very, very different.
And it's similar, obviously. We tie a lot of this stuff to Odyssey because they picked up or they took that model and they used it with modern technology, right? So that's you've heard on many Odyssey podcasts and things that one of the things that impresses the actors that work on the show is that it's recorded with everybody in the room that's in the scene, which is so different from the way things are done in pretty much everything else these actors are involved in, that they always comment on that.
Yeah.
That's true.
The family style recording, I believe.
Exactly. Yeah.
I've also heard it called an ensemble recording or ensemble cast, where you know everybody's all there together, and it does make things really neat because there's that chemistry that can happen. They can play off of each other's lines, and sometimes when you are listening to a production where the actors were recorded separately, there's a little bit of a, I mean, one will use a certain inflection in their voice, and then the way the other character responds, you can tell that they didn't hear that little inflection, and so their response may have been a little bit different if they had, you know. So it's possible to do that with and still have a good product come out, but I think it does just take it up another notch by having everybody there and the actors can play off of each other.
Definitely.
Yeah. And not just all the actors there, but including the whole live audience thing. I mean, a lot of these were done in front of a live audience, which helps, especially like with the comedy ones and other things. But it's just, you know.
But it also lends a very interesting component, because I just think of a particular example of a show called The Jack Benny Show, which was just kind of a, I don't even know what you'd call it. It was like a variety show, but there was singing of popular songs and, you know,
Sing Dennis.
Monologues and little skits and banter back and forth between these characters. And there was this one instance where one of the characters, a girl named Mary Livingston, which is actually her real name, but she messed up this guy's name. And of course, they're doing this live in front of an audience. There is no delay. There is no way to fix anything that happens. What they say is what goes out on the air.
Yeah.
So we're talking about raw talent, right? And she flubbed this guy's name. His name was Drew Pearson, and she called him Dreer Poosin. And so there was another really famous voice, Frank Nelson from the time, that came in with a very funny, and honestly, if you heard the voice I'm talking about, you would see where Odyssey gets some of its ideas. It's so funny. His voice is very similar to the guy that Eugene and Bernard talk to at the train station when they're trying to find out about Eugene's father.
Oh, the ticket counter.
The
guy.
Ticket counter. Yeah. Oh my goodness! So
yeah,
you can tell that
help
he's
you.
Exactly. It's totally taken right from this guy. So he comes in with his typical thing. Yes, may I help you? And he does the exact same line, right? So then they say, "Oh, look, it's whatever the character's name is that he's playing." And in his goofy voice, he comes back and says, "Well, who did you think I was, Dreer Poosin?" And just and literally the whole place just shuts down with people laughing for like 2 minutes. It was like, in the time, it was like the longest recorded laugh ever. They said that Jack Benny, who was the star of the show, was on the floor slapping the stage because he was just so overcome with laughter. And these are the kinds of things that you don't get when the people aren't together and can't play off of each other like
exactly.
that. It's just, it's so awesome. And obviously the one thing was a mistake, but the mistake that she made became a running joke because she not only made that mistake, but she would make other mistakes. Like she was supposed to say, "Oh, Jack's car was up on the grease rack." And she said instead, "His car was up on the grass reek." And so... And so she would always do this. And so it continued to be this joke that they would always make fun of her because she messed up her lines so frequently. But it added so much to the show that it was just amazing.
I think that show had more of those types of things happening than other shows. And I think they did that. That was part of the appeal of that show.
Because
Jack had his share of flubs too.
Yeah. And he was like the whole deal with him was very self-deprecating. Everybody was down on Jack Benny, and he was this selfish, stingy person and all this stuff. So it's kind of cool to see how they could take their mistakes and turn it into, well, a gold mine, really.
Right,
But turn it into a really great show, right?
So quick on their feet that they just can come up with
exactly.
something.
Exactly. Yeah. A very quick wit.
Yeah.
That was in the comedy shows more. I mean, because...
Yeah.
If you listen closely, like to some of these other genres of shows, you'll hear where they misspoke and then they just kind of fix it real quick and just go on. But yeah, it was a completely different type of a medium. And it's really neat to go back and look at some of these. And hey, yeah, we've come a long way and we probably wouldn't want to go back to that type of a system where you have to do all the sound effects live because That is very prohibitive. It has to be very minimal as far as the sound effects, just enough to let you know where the characters are. And, and sometimes there would be long stretches where there's no sound, you know.
Right.
They're just in a indoor environment or something. You know, you wouldn't hear a grandfather clock in the room and, exactly. you know, maybe something outside of a window going on. You know, they didn't bother with all of that. It was just a very stripped down version.
Yeah.
But you can still enjoy it. They're really great shows. What was some of your guys' first exposure to audio drama, or excuse me, to old-time radio? I can recall the very first time that I remember ever hearing an old-time radio show. And of course, my dad, he kind of grew up listening to like the very tail end of some of these, you know, shows that they were still being replayed. Obviously, he wasn't alive in the 20s and 30s, but, you know, a lot of radio stations and the networks would still rebroadcast these. So he kind of grew up listening to them, and his dad loved them, my grandpa. And so I remember when I was probably 8 or 9, the very first time my dad somehow got a hold of these cassettes from somewhere. They were a package, and it had one cassette that had 2 episodes of each show. And one was The Shadow, one was Baby Snooks, one was The Life of Riley, and the fourth one was not Abbott and Costello. It was another comedy, and I forget what it was. So there was 2 episodes on each, or on each cassette of those particular shows, and those are the very first shows that I remember listening to, and it was interesting. So this was early 1990s. It was kind of like a recreation of those, of that era. Like, because I remember me and my sister were sitting on the floor in front of the stereo. My dad was sitting in his chair in the living room, and we were listening to these old time radio shows. And it's just a neat thing that I look back on all these years later, and I remember that, and it's just a fond thing. And I think some of those shows are now some of my favorites, and maybe that's why a little bit of nostalgia there as well. But what about you, Roy?
Yeah, I'm kind of the same boat as far as like beginnings. I, for some reason, we had one cassette in our house. That's probably late 90s when I first got introduced. It was one cassette, had 2 episodes on it of Fibber McGee and Molly. And it was probably in the mid era of their program. I'm guessing middle showing. But I would just listen to that thing over and over and over, because it's just so funny. I had like all these great lines, you know, the old timer that was in there and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember the one episode was the one about Fibber McGee gets tied up. I'm sure he gets tied up by this bad guy.
Oh, yes.
And he's like, where do you keep your silver? And he's like, in the closet. And he's like,
yes.
Right over there, boy. And he's like, right here? And he's like, yes. And he opens up the famous closet, you know.
Yes,
and
gets, the whole closet.
Yeah, the closet. And there's that one. And I think the other one was Fibber McGee wears a dress, has to wear the dress for Molly, because he butchered Molly's model for making with his knives.
That one.
And so that was the other episode. And I would listen
to
those.
We had the same tape.
Yeah.
We did.
We listened to those two. I would listen over and over and over again. And that was like my first introduction to old-time radio, was just Fibber McGee and Molly. And then as I grew older, I, you know, found, oh, there's more stuff like this, you know? Like, there's all this great stuff. And I think Abbott and Costello probably came next with the whole who's on first type of thing.
Of course.
So,
yes.
I remember seeing a script. My dad actually had the script somewhere just lying around, the who's on first script. And I was like, oh my word, this is hilarious, you know? And so I think it's kind of what, as Fibber McGee and Molly, and then to Abbott and Costello, then from there on to other shows. Once I got older, I could, you know, find them, you know, see. So that's how I started.
What about you, Andrew?
Okay. So this is going to sound really familiar. So probably 95-ish, I was about 5 or 6 maybe, when my parents got a hold, I don't know where they found this, but they had two or three, I actually do remember where we got one cassette that had 2 stories of The Shadow, and I'm pretty sure we picked it up like at a Love's or something on a trip. And we had another where it was a package of like 5 cassettes, all of Abbott and Costello. So the first thing I really remember was this story about The Shadow. There were 2 stories that stood out to me. One was The Devil Takes a Wife, and then the other one was The Little Man Who Wasn't There.
Oh yeah.
So
honestly, the first thing I remember about old time radio is being scared witless after I heard The Devil Takes a Wife's opening scene is just this woman screaming for whatever reason. I haven't listened to it in a long time, but and it just scared me so bad, right? And then the next thing I really remember was Abbott and Costello, the story about Peanut Butter the Horse. Right?
So, come on, peanut butter.
Come on, Peanut Butter.
The horse eats its fodder.
Yes.
What is the fodder? His mutter.
Yes. So.
Oh, man.
So probably like two of them. The opposite ends of the spectrum, right? On one side, we had the comedy.
Right.
Then on the other side, we had this really dark drama of the shadow. You know, who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men.
Yeah, exactly.
The shadow knows. Yeah. An amazing laugh that nobody could do like Orson. Or like the first shadow. Even Orson Welles couldn't hit that laugh. So after that, we just went nuts with old time radio. We had entire bookshelves filled with these huge packages that we got from Radio Spirits, who remastered these things and you know, took some of the audio quality and improved it,
mm-hmm.
and put it on tape and sold it at Costco. And as you know, just like anything else you get at Costco, these things were massive, right? So you'd have 25 or 20 cassettes with, you know, 2 to 3 stories per cassette. So it's just this huge selection of sometimes one show, sometimes variety. They had packages of like Christmas stories and, you know, things like that. Packages of mysteries, packages of detectives. So they had it broken down by genre. Sometimes if it was a really famous show, they'd have an entire, just one show of all of the stories or as many as they could fit on those cassettes. So I've spent hours listening to Gunsmoke and Tarzan and Hopalong Cassidy and the Cisco Kid and, you know, Abbott and Costello, Armis Brooks, My Favorite Husband, all of these things that we've heard for so many years that, like, I don't know, we've spent probably cumulatively, we've spent days and days and months listening to this stuff.
Sure.
On drives and just when I wasn't listening to Odyssey, it was old time radio.
Sure. Yeah, so. Definitely. I think other part too is like when satellite radio was just coming out, you know, XM had the old time radio station.
Yep.
And that was like,
and still do.
Oh, they still do. Yeah. And that was like, dude, get satellite because you can listen to old time radio all, you know, because it was
24/7.
It was nowhere, you know, streaming. Yeah. And I remember riding with you, Andrew, and you had satellite radio. Like, this is so cool, man. Just, we just like listen to old time radio, you know.
That was the biggest draw for me to get satellite radio years ago.
It was literally, there was 3 channels we listened to like ever. And one was the clean comedy channel. Mm-hmm. Which sometimes we had to turn off because it wasn't quite accurate.
Yes. Right?
Sometimes it wasn't always as clean as it should have been. And then one was book radio, which is some of the ways we found out about some of the audio dramas we've turned you guys on to here at Audio Theater Central, like Harry Nile and some of the things like that. And then old time radio. And that was, those were the only things we used satellite radio for. So that's pretty much the only draw, right?
Yeah.
Cause there's a lot of junk on satellite radio,
but yeah.
It was really awesome to hear all these different shows and get introduced to new stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Because they played a lot of things on the XM and Sirius and stuff that was completely different. I mean, things that I had never heard before. I think that's where we discovered Father Knows Best and some of the other more obscure mystery stories like The Hermit and things like that.
Yeah.
So The Hermit's Cave. I can't remember which.
Yeah.
So, any genre you can think of is available in old time radio in very, very good quality if you can find a good place to get it. You've got mystery, you've got detective. Like, this is where the hard boiled jazzy detective originated, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Sam Spade, Philip Marlowe, Richard Diamond, these are like the quintessential hard boiled detective type, you know, with like the big band playing in the background,
yep.
You know, the little trumpet and the stuff we've even made fun of on this show. And where Odyssey picked up the heat wave, that is like a kid doing Sam Spade. It's
exactly
like so hilarious. So, being a fan of Odyssey and being a fan of old time radio go hand in hand.
Oh yeah.
So,
yeah, I mean, there was even game shows. That,
yeah.
I mean, so there's. You mentioned a lot of them, but there's science fiction.
Science fiction, yep.
Suspense type stories, you know, that...
Ooh, as a matter of fact, there was a show called...
Yeah.
Suspense! A so, tale well calculated to keep you in... Suspense! Yes.
Yep.
And things were a little overdramatic in some stories.
Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah.
a lot of this stuff was in its infancy, but it was good.
Oh, and actually, I think that's where I actually... coming when you mentioned suspense, I've actually... I was introduced to suspense, I think my first time, my grandma had a cassette, and I saw, like, old-time radio was on the front of it, or whatever. I'm like, oh, you know, so I stuck it in the player, I'm like sitting there just listening to it, and I think it was the one about the telephone operator or whatever.
Oh, my goodness, oh, sorry, yeah. wrong number. Sorry,
yeah.
Oh, that's a terrible story.
Well, sometime in between my first exposure to it, to this, this world of old-time radio, and then the introduction of satellite radio... I had discovered this one radio station, which I don't know why, but it was like a community radio station where I lived up in the Northwest that every weeknight at like, it was either 10 or 11 o'clock at night, they did this show called When Radio Was.
Oh,
it was hosted by Stan Freberg, who used to have his own old-time radio show called The Stan Freberg Show.
Right.
Which was another one of those kind of variety comedy skit sketch type shows, which was... pretty funny stuff. He famously did this a spoof of Dragnet called Dragonnet or something like that.
Yep.
Oh, hilarious stuff. You got to check that out.
Yeah.
But every night, and I don't even know why my parents let me stay up this late. Because I was a little kid in school, you know.
Yeah.
And I would be listening, and it was an hour long. And so Stan Freberg would come in and kind of give like a little background behind the episode that he was going to play. And then he'd come in afterwards and, you know, give a little more info, and then he'd go into a second one. So it'd be two shows back to back with Stan Freberg giving a little commentary. And I loved it. And I used to sit there and record them on cassette the whole hour. And so then I'd have tons and tons of cassettes of When Radio Was.
Nice.
And so that was, I mean, that was where I got to hear all these different, because he always tried to choose like one adventure or a suspense or kind of a story, and then have another one that was a little bit lighter, a comedy yeah. or one of the variety shows or something like that. So, you know, you always got to hear new ones. And so that was when I started getting more into all these different shows. And some of my favorites, which go back all those years to that time, was I heard one of the science fiction shows called X-1. There was two that were really, really good, X-1 and Dimension X.
Yes.
Which there's a whole backstory behind them and how they're interconnected, which we don't have time to go into today. But they did an episode called Time and Time Again. I've always been fascinated with time travel.
Yeah.
Going back to the classic book, The Time Machine, you know?
Yeah.
And so this one was just an amazing story about this guy who's in this war. He's a soldier, and suddenly this bomb explodes. He wakes up, and he's a 12-year-old boy in his home again. And it's this whole story that revolves around this. And I love the title, such a play on words, Time and Time Again.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, it's fascinating. And then there was another one called Star Bright, also an X-1 story, and it's about this little girl who is just has this amazing, just far off the charts intelligence. She's far more advanced than her father, who is this extremely educated man. And it's just this whole story of, again, there's a little bit of time travel in here, but those two stand out as some of my all-time favorites of the science fiction genre. What about you, Roy? What are some of your favorites?
I'm not too. I've listened to a few episodes of like the sci-fi, but I think more my genre was more like the comedy, as far as like Fibber McGee and Molly, mm-hmm. and then along with that, The Great Gildersleeve, because he was in their shows and
yes.
they followed him to
actually,
his own show.
It's interesting because it's actually the first spinoff ever,
right,
in the history of like mankind,
right?
Yeah. You know, you have a show with a character that becomes so well liked that he gets his own show. The first time that ever happened was from Fibber McGee and Molly to The Great Gildersleeve.
And that guy, the Great Gildersleeve, was just crack. I love his whole like, Leroy!
You know? Oh, man.
Yeah. Oh! Oh!
<It's> like, yeah, yes.
However he does it. Like, Lila. Whatever. But anyway.
That's so, very good. That was very good. That's impressive.
So I mean, you could tell how much I listened to him. But Gildersleeve, and then... I've listened to about every Gunsmoke I think there is possible, and then of course Abbott and Costello and The Shadow. Abbott and Costello is really funny. I love listening to them, and then The Shadow, and then also I kind of got into I Was a Communist for the FBI. I listened to love a few of their show and really neat. A few times, you know, you wonder the end of their stories. You're like, oh, is he going to get found out? You know, because it comes close like every time, you know. But
the whole premise is he's an FBI agent who's deep undercover in the Communist Party in America. And his own family did not even know that he was an FBI agent. They really thought he was a communist.
Yeah.
Fascinating. And they hated him for it.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah.
It was amazing.
It really, basically, it ruined his whole life. And that was actually taken from a true story of an actual FBI agent.
Oh, wow.
Right. That was what was so fascinating about it to me.
Yep. Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. So, oh man, picking favorites is so difficult. It's almost like you'd have to pick a favorite from each genre because there's no way to say, oh, I like this show even above all others. And to try to pick out one particular episode is absolutely impossible, right? So just going with some favorite shows, I really like the detective stories. I'm a huge fan of Sherlock Holmes. So the Sherlock Holmes old time radios were among the best ever. So Sherlock Holmes, Richard Diamond, Private Eye is probably one of my favorites. Let's see. I'd have to say Gunsmoke as well. It's got to be one of the best. It's a standout among all genres, really.
Well, yeah, once you hear that Western, it's hard to listen to another Western.
It is.
You know?
It set the bar for me.
I think, I don't know. It's a wholly different type of Western, and it's just...
There's a few that solid. I can think of that are similar.
Have Frontier Gun, Gentleman. Will Travel.
Yeah.
Frontier Gentlemen, yes, definitely. Those two are my... those three, Gunsmoke, Have Gun, Will Travel, and Frontier Gentlemen. Frontier Gentlemen was a really short
series. 1 year, one season.
Yeah, there was not very many episodes of that one, and I loved it.
Yes.
John Daner
was amazing.
He really was.
What was the show with Hyo Silver? Or
The Lone Ranger.
Lone Ranger, yeah.
Those are okay, but very over the top.
Yeah. The Lone Ranger was a kid's show, right? It was like comedy Western.
That's exactly what it was. It was more for kids.
The Lone Ranger was a kid's show, whereas Gunsmoke, Have Gun, Will Travel, Frontier Gentlemen were adult shows. They were shows that were put on the radio after the kids were in bed. That's literally what they were, because they were more realistic, you know, so darker and more true to life.
Oh yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
The Lone Ranger was this idealized, you know, lawman, you know.
Gunslinger lawman, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And never killed anybody.
Yeah.
Not on a single show, literally.
And somebody, there's always at least one person that dies in an episode of Gunsmoke.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the truth,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And the characters go through these very real life situations. So Gunsmoke is just, it's different.
Yeah.
So it's hard, but because it's so realistic, it's hard to listen to. To things like The Lone Ranger, because it can get boring. You have to get into the mood, right?
Yeah.
And then usually what will end up happening is you'll think of an episode or something, start listening to it, and just go on a binge. Because you can't... Because there's so many episodes of, like, The Lone Ranger, and it ran for years. Anyway, so, you know, Gunsmoke would have to be a favorite. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, is probably one of my favorites. There's just so many. And like Roy said, I'm not a huge fan of the science fiction genre in old time radio. And then I'm also not a big fan of the spooky stories. In some cases, they're good. Like there's one called Inner Sanctum Mysteries, which is, it's hard to describe the genre because they would take weird stories and put them on the air. I don't even know how to describe it. But the host made the show because he had a funny, dark humor that was just
true.
He was very sarcastic about what the story we had just heard, and it was really funny. So that one I would actually like listening to sometimes, but there's just
What about the Black Museum?
That one was all right.
I like that. I thought that one was pretty good. Right? That hosted that.
Yeah. One. I mean, it actually was a very cool concept and premise, right? Yeah.
The Mysterious Traveler. So you're not into any
not
of those?
Not really the Mysterious Traveler. Actually, not so
I'm not
much.
Into any of those. I'm not really into the detective ones or the really spooky kind of ones or whatever.
But the cool thing is that you can be a huge fan of old-time radio and never touch hundreds of shows that were made, right?
Right.
Like, we love old-time radio, and even we who have heard, you know, hundreds of hours of it, there's tons of shows that I've never heard of, much less heard, right? So getting into this is really awesome. It's just such a cool world to get into.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Especially being fans of audio drama.
Right.
Well, and going back to something you mentioned earlier was that kind of a spectrum as far as a Western goes. You have Gunsmoke over here on one end, and then you have like the Lone Ranger on the other end. Something that's kind of in the middle, but a little bit off to the Lone Ranger side is Sergeant Preston of the Yukon.
Yes.
Which is very similar, except, you know, he's a Mountie, Royal Canadian Mounted Police. But so he's not quite to the full lifelike. He's got that very, a little bit of over the top kind of a voice.
Yeah.
Hello there, King. You know,
yeah,
he has his sidekick, which is a dog, his sled dog. But it's not too much on that caricature side of things as the Lone Ranger and Tonto are. So that's another really good one that I liked.
That's an interesting way to put it. Like, caricature is a good word. You could almost call it cartoons for the ears, right? The Lone Ranger type, because
Adventures of
it's
Wild
so
Bill
over
Hickok
the top, right? I mean, Wild Bill Hickok is probably one of my favorites. I just haven't. There's not a lot of them out there, so. But it's hilarious stuff. I mean, even some of the westerns are like they could be comedy shows. They're just so funny. So as you could tell, we could go on talking about this for probably the rest of the day.
Oh, yeah. And when you said Johnny Dollar, that was probably my top favorite of all, any genre, that any type of show, any particular series, that one was probably my top favorite. And it worked out really well because the initials of Johnny Dollar are JD. And so for years, anything online, my screen name or account username or whatever was Johnny Dollar.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I used that.
That's awesome.
But yeah, I loved that show.
So why don't we point out some really, really overt, because we've already kind of talked about some of the behind the scenes, but some really overt Odyssey connections, like actors and things, that not just things where Odyssey picked up on an old time radio episode or something and put it into a show.
There are many.
I could almost say that we wouldn't have Odyssey without old time radio.
Oh, yeah.
There's no doubt, but I mean, if some of the actors that were in Odyssey had not first gotten their start in old-time radio, we wouldn't have had Hal Smith as Mr. Whitaker.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if there would have been an Odyssey, it wouldn't have been as good, is my feeling, right? If some of these actors hadn't come from such a long career as people that were the only people doing this,
yeah,
right?
I mean, they started this whole thing, you know? Yeah. They were the beginnings.
Well, and you mentioned like the most obvious one is Hal Smith playing Mr. Whitaker, who he had done a lot of stuff in old-time radio. But going back to a series that's already been mentioned several times, Gunsmoke, one of the main characters on Gunsmoke, Chester, who is Marshall Matt Dillon's sidekick.
The definition of comic relief.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's a dark show. It's an adult show, right? And when we say adult, we mean adult by 1950 standards, right? So it's not a bad show to listen to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But he provided the relief valve, because if there would have been no Chester, it would have been dismal to listen to that show.
Man, it would have been, horrible.
It would have been all dark all the time.
Yeah.
Yes,
and,
sir, Mr.
and he
Dylan?
Wasn't always overtly comedic.
No.
Yeah.
But he's just a funny character.
Just, you know, something he would say would just lighten it a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And bring down the tension.
Yes, but, sir. Yes, sir, Mr. Dillon.
Yes, sir, yeah. Mr. Dillon. Shut up, Chester.
And, of course, that voice was none other than Uncle Joe Fineman, Connie Kendall's uncle, Parley Bear.
That's probably the biggest. He's probably the biggest old-time radio star that's in Odyssey, really.
And you know something? I listened to Gunsmoke for a long time before I ever knew that connection. It was crazy. It was wild.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there are similarities. I mean, you can catch the voice if you know it.
Yeah.
But he definitely played up that
Chester.
Chester.
He plays up Chester. Parley Bear is closer to his real voice. He throws in a Southern accent, but that's closer to his real voice than
Uncle
Chester.
Joe. Uncle Joe.
Uncle Joe, Joe is. Uncle Joe is, you know, much closer to his real voice. So, you know, my dad, honestly, is the one who found out a lot of this stuff because he was a big, big, big old-time radio fan. Still is, obviously. But, and we were big Odyssey fans. So finding out those connections was so much fun for the two of us. We love that stuff. And my mom's just like, oh, okay, guys.
Another connection would be Alan Young, who played Jack
Allen.
Jack Allen, yeah.
Yeah, Jack Allen.
For many years on Odyssey. And he was in the old-time radio biz, had his own show, The Alan Young Show.
Which I was surprised to find has something like 300 and something episodes on this particular client that I use to listen to old-time radio. Which means that his show ran for probably 6 years at least. Because you typically would get one show a week, which comes out to be about 50 episodes, if your show wasn't seasonal. And a lot of these were. So, like, the Jack Benny show, the Burns and Allen show would go on a summer break. So, for 3 months, they wouldn't even do anything. 3-4 months. So, his show obviously was quite long-running and obviously quite popular. Even though it wasn't one of the ones that I had heard particularly until I found out the connection and started looking.
Same here.
But he has a ton of shows, and it was really good, too. So, and it's actually one of the best variety. It's a really good variety show. It's not like amazing, but it was good.
Mm-hmm. Now, aside from actors who were in old time radio and then their connection to Odyssey, there's, as we mentioned, there are so many different kind of little nods to OTR from the Odyssey team.
Tons.
The most overt, I think, would probably be Edwin Blackard's radio play, which is a spoof kind of the War of the Worlds with Orson Welles and how that was all. I mean, there's a huge story behind that. If you don't know it, look up that story. It's fascinating, the effect of that one radio play on the citizenry. I mean, it's just an amazing story.
Incredible. But
it's all replayed in that episode of Odyssey.
Yeah.
Sure. Just in the little town, right? And the way that, so just as a clue and to keep this as brief as possible, the way that Jimmy and Lawrence react to the radio play was the way that a large percentage of Americans reacted to this radio play, because it was so real. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was amazing. So, and it really demonstrated the effect of radio on people's lives. And even with us talking about how awesome it is right now, I don't think that we can really capture how important it was to people's lives, especially during World War II, because of all the rationing and the things that were just hard on Americans were made easier because, and let's get controversial for a second, because Hollywood used to support America. All right. So this was the Hollywood of yore, right? Before movies and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they would actually get on there and talk about being patriotic and, you know, doing things for your country and stuff that, you know, you hear it and it almost makes you a little sad because some of the attitudes of the big Hollywood people now is just so against everything that America is that it's just disgusting, right? But hearing that from that time really clues you into how big of a part of people's lives that this was.
Yeah. Not the War of the Worlds in particular.
But no. But in general. But the War of the Worlds just demonstrates that, because radio was so real to people.
Yeah.
That, I mean, they would just be able to lose themselves and their problems in this show for a few minutes.
It was their relief, you know. It was that time where they could just, you know, sit down and like forget about, you know, everything else that was going on in the world and just like, oh, you know, make people laugh.
Yep.
You know, you get people laughing, they forget about, you know, other stuff that's going on.
Right. And the War in the Worlds, of course, War of the Worlds, is an adaptation, of course, of the classic book. Let me say, a genius adaptation.
Oh, amazing.
By Orson Welles, who, I mean, one of the greats of the entire era. And
with one of the most amazing voices that God ever gave mankind. Yeah. For a young man.
Yeah. His voice was so mature.
He was a 19-year-old kid, literally a kid, 19 years old on this radio show. And he sounds like this deep, you know, just statesman-like gravity to his voice, and you're like, oh my word, this must be some 45-year-old, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, very, very strong individual. His voice was incredible. So we could digress for a long time. We could literally take what we're talking about now and turn it into a whole nother podcast that we release.
Oh yeah.
You know, frequently, because there's so much to talk about, but we're not going to do that. So we'll kind of cut that short a little bit, but it's just some of the best talent that exists, right? You know, yeah. People like, I feel like Jess Harnell would have been very well-paid actor even back. Mm-hmm. He seems to embody kind of Mel Blanc, right?
Oh yeah. Definitely.
Who was on everything. Yeah. He was on every show that ever existed almost, right? He would literally like go from studio to studio and pop in
and pop
read
out.
The lines that he had for that show and then pop out, walk across the hall to another show that was being recorded, read his lines and go across town to another studio for another, you know, NBC or something else. He was so busy. It's just like Jess Harnell, right? Jess Harnell is incredibly busy. So, and he was the man of 1,000 voices back then. Yeah. So,
right.
It's just amazing the talent that was packed into all of the shows that we can still listen to.
And that's another one, the Mel Blanc show. I mean, it's classic, just funny, funny stuff.
Yeah.
But as a kind of a side note, not long ago was the 75th anniversary of the first broadcast of the War of the Worlds.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So it's a classic. So some of the top, in my opinion, you have Orson Welles, Jack Webb. You already mentioned him, John Daner, who did just some amazing stuff.
Yes.
And then, of course, Mel Blanc. I mean, as far as actresses, probably Lucille Ball, who did a ton of radio shows.
Yeah. Abbott and Costello, she's on there a lot.
Too. Yeah. And Georgia Ellis also. She did voice after voice on tons and tons of shows.
Agnes Moorehead was on everything. She played an iconic role in a suspense episode called Sorry Wrong Number.
Yes.
That was played more than any other suspense episode in that time, right? They replayed it on the radio because so many people wanted to hear it so much. And she was an incredible actress.
Oh yeah.
Whoa. I mean, just, oh my goodness.
Here, take this. That particular show, it's basically almost like a one-character show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And she turned that entire thing. There's only one or two other voices on that episode. It's all about this invalid who's stuck in, obviously, in bed, an invalid.
Right.
But it, oh my goodness, the way she portrayed that and made it interesting and just drew you in.
And the scene,
this one voice.
The scene never leaves that room.
Right. Yeah.
Never. It only leaves the room, quote unquote, via the telephone, right? And only twice.
Just look at that concept on the surface. That sounds like a terrible audio.
Oh my gosh, it does. Yeah. It sounds horrible. Like, oh, but no action, no nothing.
Yeah.
And there is no action.
Yeah.
There is no action in that story at all. The most active action-filled scene in the entire show is when the train goes by at the end.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right? And all you hear is a train. It's not like gunshots and
explosions. Scream,
you know, it's just a train going by. But the implications of it just, oh, it's so amazing.
Guys, we got to shut this down or we'll just keep talking all day long. As you can tell, we love old-time radio. There's so much to talk about. If you like this episode, please let us know, because we'd like to dive a little deeper into some of these particular shows and maybe more on some certain actors or something like that. If you like this kind of thing, let us know. We'd love to hear from you. But before we sign off, let's go through some places where you can find old-time radio. There is tons of it for free on the internet. As you know, as the internet grew, people started uploading their collections and sharing them. There's tons of stuff out there. There's links in the show notes for a lot of our favorite websites. I'm going to mention one of them right now that I really like. It's called OTR.net. Mm-hmm. It's very stripped down. There's no graphics whatsoever. It's just you go there and you play them. And they have a pretty impressive library of shows. There's several others that I'm going to link to in the show notes. You pick which one you like the best and use that. But then there are some places where you can purchase them. Andrew, you mentioned Radio Spirits earlier.
Yes.
I was a member of Radio Spirits years ago when they actually had a subscription program where they would send you shows every month on cassette. But they, like you said, they have digitally remastered a ton of shows. So the audio quality is as high as it's ever going to be.
Yes.
Keep in mind, these were live shows that were just recorded down on such primitive recording instruments that there's all the scratches and pops and stuff from the records. So they've done a tremendous job of recreating the audio of the – not recreating, that's a wrong word, but remastering them, and they sound really good. So if you're wanting high quality, as high a quality as you can get for old-time radio, go to radiospirits.com. Again, there's links in the show notes for all of these. And another place where you can get MP3 discs of just dozens and dozens of episodes of shows is a website called Old Time Radio Home. Again, all these links are in the show notes, so that's where you can get some of these shows. And again, let us know what you think about these discussions. We would love to dive into this a little deeper. So
one note that I think we should mention is I've noticed that most shows are now in the public domain because of their age. Mm-hmm. However, some were so popular, et cetera, whatever, that
they renewed the license.
They still have the licensing. So yeah. Radio Spirits is a good resource for things you can't find anywhere else.
True. Yeah.
There are some really famous shows that you can't get anywhere for free because they are still licensed and you still have to purchase them. So I wish I had a comprehensive list of what they were, but I don't. So, it's just another resource. There are some that you do have to buy still, just to keep in mind. Also, another resource, and JD, maybe you can help me out as to whether this is on Android or not. I don't know. But for iOS, at least, and we'll find out for you live, our crack research team, as to whether this is on Android, is an app called OTR Streamer. Mm-hmm. And
it's free.
It is a free app, and you can purchase – it has like in-app purchases. So basically, you can stream the shows for free. But if you want to download them and have them on your device, then you can pay to have that functionality.
Yeah.
You can pay to do other things. Like there's no trivia, ads.
Which I purchased no ad ones. You know.
Yeah, this is one thing that honestly I bought like everything they give except for the trivia because it was like $4 and I get all this stuff. I mean,
yeah.
That's kind of a no-brainer, and people that don't want to spend $4 on an app, what else would you not spend $4 on? I mean, think about it, folks.
Yeah,
if you had $4 in your wallet, what would you not spend that on?
Exactly.
That's one coffee from Starbucks.
Exactly.
I know.
Exactly.
Like, when people are like, oh my goodness, I can't buy this app. It's $2.
Yeah.
And you're like, did you think about what you just said before you just said it?
Yeah, exactly.
$2. Really? Go buy a stick of gum and like, you know. Calm down.
Yeah.
So it's keep calm and hit the buy button.
That's right.
Right.
But that's the cool thing about this. You can get into this world of OTR for free.
Yeah.
Check it out. And then once you get into it, grab the app or start buying some of the stuff from Radio Spirits. It's really good quality. The equivalent of that app on Android is called Old Time Radio Player.
Awesome.
And it's free and you can download all the shows to your device. That's what kind of I do sometimes is I'll just download them when I'm on Wi-Fi and then I can play them wherever.
Exactly.
They'll stay on your device too. So you can go back into your native audio player and just play them whenever you want.
Nice.
And they've got them broken up into genres. So that's the one that I use. Again, check this world of audio. I started to say audio drama. Yes, it is audio drama.
Yeah,
that it is.
Origins of audio drama. But check it out. Get into it. And we think you'll really enjoy some of these shows. And if you're already into it, let us know what some of your favorites are.
Yeah, and please let us know if this show turned you on to the world of old-time radio. And if you enjoy it, we'd love to hear that feedback to know that we changed your life.
Absolutely.
So, what do you think of the show?
Please leave your message after the tone.
Hi, Audio Theater Central.
Hey, guys, this is Austin Peachy.
Hello, JD, Roy, and Andrew. My name is Victoria.
Now, yesterday, I received a letter from a big fan.
No time to chat. I've got an email list.
Another package for me today.
No, it's actually just your mail.
So, in the mailbag today is a blog comment from Samuel R. on episode 52 of Audio Theater Central. He said a while back, so this was our discussion about audiobook versus audio drama. What, you know, is a narrate or a full cast audiobook still considered audio drama? And he said, a while back, I would have simply said that audio drama was completely different with no narrator and feeling more immersed in a movie without pictures, which I like that phrase.
Yeah.
Whereas audiobook, he says, whether it has a cast or not, has a narrator and feels more like the book is being brought directly to life. However, these days, I think that those lines are being blurred. For instance, listening to Focus on the Family's production of Narnia includes a narrator, and sometimes it feels like a merge of the two things. Also, as you mentioned on your program, Bible dramatizations such as The Bible Experience also includes a narrator, but has a cast, music, and other effects. So yeah, there are, we talked about this hybrid kind of thing that's going on in the industry. There's these merging of things. But I think audio drama is still audio drama. I never got the feeling that Narnia was on that line at all, but
yeah, me neither. I mean, it was heavy on the narration, but that's it.
So I think you can still be heavy on the narration a little bit in an audio drama without crossing that line into being an audio book.
I think the line is, are they reading from the book?
Yeah.
If there is a line, that's what it is, right?
I'm unfamiliar with the Bible Experience, though. Is that the one that you were referring to?
No, I was talking about the Zondervan KGV. I think it's just called the Zondervan KGV Dramatized Bible or something like that. I don't know that I've heard of the Bible Experience. I may have. I think I may have seen it at Barnes & Noble, but I don't think I ever bought it because it was like $100 and something. But I don't know if that's what he's talking about or not, to be honest. So.
And there was another series called The Word of Promise, which was basically, they called it Dramatic Audio Theater Presentation of.
That's the one I've seen.
Okay.
But I've seen the entire Bible.
Yeah. The Word of Promise is, this one that I'm holding in my hand right now is called The Easter Story, which just takes out the one portion of it and then kind of melds all those different books of the Bible, which deal with the story of crucifixion and everything, and puts it into one. So yeah, lines are being blurred, but there's definitely some really cool stuff out there. And if you have some feedback on this particular topic, definitely let us know. You can get in touch with us by going to audiotheatercentral.com/contact. And there's a myriad of ways of contacting us there. Voice or email or comments, whatever. Get in touch with us. Show notes are at audiotheatercentral.com/54. All the links for everything we talked about in this episode will be found there. Any last words?
Old time radio. Live it, love it.
Like it.
And it'll love you back.
Hear it.
I think that's a good way to end it. We will see you next time. Thank you so much for listening. Audio Theater Central is a production of Porchlight Family Media at porchlightfamilymedia.com. Hey, just a word to all of our loyal listeners who stay for the end of the show and listen past the credits. Let me say that we really appreciate you very much. And if you enjoy the show, would you do us a favor and share it with your friends? Tell somebody else about Audio Theater Central. And if you're going to be doing any shopping on Amazon or ChristianBook.com, which are two big online retailers where you can get a lot of the things that we talk about, there are links on our website at audiotheatercentral.com. And if you go through those links, it does help us to keep this show running and keep producing more content. We want to try to keep pushing out more content to you guys. So that would just help us. And if you do that, thank you very much. Well, as a bonus for sticking at to the end and listening to my little plea there or spiel, whatever you want to call it, here is a little bit of that classic Abbott and Costello episode, Who's On First?
Yes. You going to be the coach, too?
Yes.
And you know the fellow's name?
Well, I should.
Well, then who's on first?
Yes.
I mean the fellow's name?
Who?
The guy on first.
Who?
The first base.
Who?
The guy playing first.
Who is on first?
I'm asking you who's on first.
That's the man's name.
That's whose name?
Yes.
Well, go ahead and tell
That's
me.
That's it.
That's who?
Yes.
You got a first baseman?
Certainly.
Who's playing first?
That's right.
When you pay off the first baseman every month, who gets the money?
Every dollar of it.
All I'm trying to find out is the fellow's name on first base.
Who?
The guy that gets the
money. That's it.
Who gets the money on
first base? He does, every dollar. Sometimes his wife comes down and collects it.
Whose wife?
Yes. What's wrong with that?
Look, all I want to know is when you sign up the first baseman, how does he sign his name to the contract? The guy.
Who?
How does he sign his
name? That's how he signs it.
Who?
Yes.
What's the guy's name on first base?
No, what is on second base?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
One base at a time.
Well, don't change the players.
I'm not changing nobody.
Take it easy, buddy.
I'm only asking you, who's the guy on first base?
That's right.
Okay.
All right.
What's the guy's name on first base?
No, what is on second?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know.
So there's a link in the show notes for you to go check out that particular show from Abbott and Costello. And there's also a link to the full script. It is a classic comedy episode. You're going to enjoy it if you have not heard it before. And my water bottle is making noises.
The barometric pressure is increasing in our studio, folks.
It's the excitement that's building.
Yeah.
Because of this newscast that Roy's going to give. I think I'll cut that out. Yeah.
Still fun anyway.
I think that we should leave that in because honestly, that was probably the worst segue in the history of mankind, and it should be documented for posterity's sake. That was awesome. It's hilarious. So we'll leave you in suspense as we move on to our next topic. No, maybe that was the worst segue in the history of mankind.
One of these days, we'll have a show where we don't have a bunch of goof ups.
Probably not.